we're trying to decolonize these different teachings that we have, these different theories. They're so Euro-colonial centered. With this example of Piaget and his childhood development, he studied French boys for his studies. So it's not generalizable to, like, let's say if we wanted to work with a Native youth here in Minneapolis, is that same childhood development theory applicable?
Buju, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Mi gwech for joining us today. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have captivating conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. Here, let me list them off for you just a little bit. We're talking about musicians, artists, community leaders, healthcare advocates, language warriors, you name it. They have a wondrous mix of passions, of course, and we talk to them about those passions and their gifts and how they share them with the community. And it all centers around finding purpose in our lives and amplifying Native voices, which we continue today. So how you doing, Leah? What's going on?
You know, I'm all right. Again, yeah. Hanging in there.
Just hanging in there.
Just enjoying whatever's coming my way. How about you?
Yeah, just chilling. I think, you know, the house is a big thing right now. Like, I'm just stressing out about it. We're getting all these things remodeled, and it's a month and a half until we move in and just change our whole life around. So it's been a lot of planning, a lot of looking up what we need to order and how we're going to save funds. But it's fun. It's good to get out of this apartment finally. That's not me trying to drag people who live in apartments. I've lived in apartments for a long time. But it's just finally nice to have a little change of pace and a yard that Stanley, our poodle, can run around in and cause havoc. So it's good. Doing well. So thank you very much, Leah.
You can always change paint color. You can always change it later.
One of my, I was looking on like how to fix something. And then there's this hilarious comment. It's like, you know, you could just fix that and do that, or you could just replace the entire house. But it kind of feels like that sometimes. It's like, oh, if you want to start here, you'll eventually end up just redoing everything.
It's true. But anyways, then at the new house, there's going to be some stuff to also update. So it's just a cycle. Yeah. You'll manage.
And I'm looking forward to having you come over and, you know, do some drywall work. And,
yeah, let me know help out when you want me to help do some manual labor. I might be out of town, but just let me know.
Sounds good. Well noted. Yes, well noted. Yes. But I know we're excited for today. You know, we got a very special guest on the show again. Our brother, Bryce Primo.
Wow.
It's been about 4 years since we had him on the show. And since then, there's been a lot more updates, accomplishments, and such in his life. And so we needed to get him back on. He's currently on the precipice of graduating with a Bachelor of Social Work from Augsburg in Minneapolis. He's currently an intern at Ramsey County Social Services for the Parent Support Outreach Program. And he's also on the board of the National Association of Social Workers as a student representative. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So we're excited to talk with him. And since we've already heard a lot of these great updates from him, we want him to share that with the show, with the listener, and also just dive a little bit deeper into what's happening in his life. You know? Mm-hmm. So let's get rocking. Here he is.
How's it going?
Good.
How's it going, mustache bro? Look at this guy.
Had to do it.
Ah, man, it's pretty dominant.
Alpha mustache.
Feeling kind of jealous right now.
No, it looks awesome.
Love it.
Thank you very much.
All right, Buju, Bryce, brother, how you doing? Let's introduce yourself, please.
Hi, so I'm Bryce Primo. I'm going to Augsburg University. I'm a senior there, and I'm a Bachelor of Social Work student.
Great, great. How you doing? How's the gal? How's the doggo?
Oh, we're doing fine. Just getting over some illnesses, and the dog's doing great.
Sorry, you have a cat too.
Oh yeah, and Billy, our newest addition. Yeah, he's crazy. He tried to eat my dog's food this morning. Luckily, my dog is not that food possessive and just kind of shoved my cat's head right out of the way.
Does a cat jump on your face at all during the night?
Never. Actually, don't allow her in the bedroom because I'm slightly allergic. So we had to compromise on that point.
Oh, that's good.
I was wondering about the allergy.
I'm also allergic.
Awesome. Well, Bryce, thank you for taking time. You know, this is super exciting for us. Sometimes the only reason I know what's going on in Cole's life even is, and your life, is because we talk like every other week for Native Lights. So, you know, he'll share a couple little things about you beforehand or, you know, about himself. So this is kind of how we keep in touch sometimes. So it's kind of funny. So I'm going to take advantage of that today. Bryce, what is at the top of your mind? Is there something that you are kicking around that you're thinking about?
The top of my mind is just the next phase of my academic journey. Right now is the Master's of Social Work. That's been something that I've been really, really focusing on recently. A lot of paperwork to go through, lots of signing up for classes. I mean, and scholarships too. There's a lot of work that goes into that. So recently I've been focusing a lot on that and basically setting myself up for next year.
Tell me more. What is this?
So the Master's of Social Work, it allows me to have a little bit more freedom in the field as far as like maybe taking on different roles as looking at researching roles, and maybe even looking at policies and advocating for policies on a statewide level, maybe even national level. So that's why I've continued my degree in master's, to kind of go to that more general level of creating policies that create equality in our society.
Yeah. So right now you're graduating from a Bachelor of Social Work right now?
Yep. Still going to Augsburg. I'm a senior right now, but I'm maybe 1 month away from graduation. I graduate May 7th. So we'll be winding down in a month or so and doing my finals, and I'll be getting the bachelor's at that point. But right after then, I think soon after that, I'm going to be starting my master's class in the same month. So back to back.
No rest.
Don't forget to celebrate, though, in between. Even if they overlap a little bit or whatever, please, please celebrate.
Yes. One of my favorite bands is coming to the city, so hopefully I'll see that.
Do go on.
Which is?
It's called the STRFKR, and they're just a alternative electric group. I listen to them from time to time, and I think I was like in their 1% on Spotify. So I was like, hey, I got to go to the concert when they're in here.
So how's this last, you know, home stretch of bachelor's degree? What have been some of your, you know, favorite classes that you've taken?
Well, I'll just start off by saying, you know, it hasn't been easy. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of hard work. One of the classes that I take that I liked was a human behavior science class that you look at different theories, social theories that social work uses to kind of explain how your client's doing, let's say like child development. You use a certain theory, let's say Piaget's cognitive development theory, to kind of describe how the child is developing if they're hitting these milestones. Interestingly enough, through that class, I'm involved in another research project. We're trying to decolonize these different teachings that we have, these different theories. They're so Euro-colonial centered. With this example of Piaget and his childhood development, he studied French boys for his study. So it's not generalizable to, like, let's say if we wanted to work with a Native youth here in Minneapolis, is that same childhood development theory applicable to youth here in Minneapolis? We're just at the very beginning stages of this research, trying to pull together different literature from around the world on their perspectives of human behavior, and not just from a certain continent, like let's say Euro-colonialism that created all these different human behavior theories. But yeah, like I said, I'm bachelor's level, so a very basic understanding of these things, and I want to learn more, you know, continue on to it in my master's and continue the research into providing classes at Augsburg or in general that are less Euro-colonial centered, more worldly, take more views into account, and so that we can have more generalizable theories in the future that, that can apply to all sorts of different populations here in America.
You're listening to Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with our brother Bryce Primo, a Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe citizen and resident of Minneapolis, who will soon be graduating with a social work degree from Augsburg.
Senior year, you've been an intern at Ramsey County Social Services, correct? Could you talk about, you know, what you do there and the program you're involved in?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I didn't know about this program before I started interning there. It's called the Parent Support Outreach Program. Every county in Minnesota has one of these programs. It's a really good program for parents who might be having some struggles with their raising their child. Maybe let's say they're having an issue with rent, or they're having an issue with their child's mental health. If they're experiencing like two of these different factors, then they can sign up for a program, this program called Parent Support Outreach Program. Now, what I do is I go out to these households and we provide document assistance and we help people sign up for different programs. We can also maybe provide our own resources through the program, through our grant. You know, if a family needs something, and we can provide a stopgap service for that. Basically, what I do is go out to a family's house and assess them to see what kind of areas in their life that they can need support in. And we work from there. We create a service plan, and over 3 months, we check in multiple times with the parents and see that we're accomplishing our goals along the way.
And what's it like, you know, just seeing that process through where you're checking back on these? You're not just saying, here's some documents you can sign and don't follow up. What's it like actually following these families through that process?
Yes, it's very important to follow through, especially with the underserved community, because they're basically getting or receiving no services at the moment. So we want to make sure that we provide that support. At first, you know, I was very nervous going into houses, but eventually, you know, with practice, I got more comfortable with that, and working with the families throughout the process is very fulfilling. You get to see families who might come in with their different struggles, and throughout the process, you see some of the weight being lifted off, as far as, you know, they might have better resources, or they might be linked up with a different program here in the state that can provide resources, and that relieves a lot of stress in their life. And when you get to that point with a client or with the program participant, it's amazing to see their hard work pay off. That's what we do. We empower the client. We try not to do the work for them or all that stuff, but we try to empower clients to take on these tasks for themselves. And when you see that happen, it's amazing. It's totally worthwhile.
So you get to follow up with them after they go through whatever service they need to go through?
Basically, once a month, you have to do a face-to-face meeting with the client. I tend to do a little bit more since I'm a student intern. Yeah, you check in with them along the process and see how they're doing. If they want to stop services at any point, they can. It's a voluntary service. So if they're following the program and all that stuff, then we keep them in the program and decide what to do from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd imagine there's some really good outcomes and maybe not great outcomes. And how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so it's tough sometimes when you see families struggling and when you see individuals who might not be able to support themselves in the moment. One thing that helps is to break up what you think their issues are into just little tiny pieces. And once you can see that they've been accomplishing these little mini goals along the way, like maybe just even answering a phone call for you, or maybe even just meeting with you for the time being, that's a huge progress. So if you're able to do anything like that, if you're able to reach somebody, you know, I feel like that's a success. So you have to celebrate your successes along the way to help keep you going, help keep you motivated as a worker.
That sounds like really good advice for anybody. I know it is sometimes really hard to take on a giant task. There might be some, you know, anxiety or block or something like that. But breaking it down really helps.
Yes.
And then you're also involved in the National Association of Social Workers as a board member, as a student representative. Please talk about that.
So as a student representative on the board of NASW Minnesota, what we've been doing so far is, you know, I'll go to the board meetings and learn, like, and sit and listen, because this is my first time being on a board. I've learned so much and have participated in their regional events as a student representative. One of the things that I did this year was I went to the Social Work Day at the Capitol. We helped organize that event. While we were there as a student representative, I would go around to talk to the students and help get them signed up for NASW. A little bit about NASW, you know, it's a professional organization of social workers. And in Minnesota, it's about like 2,000 members strong. Every year we do like trainings, licensure exam help, and advocacy events like the Social Work Day at the Capitol. So that was one of them. And I got to meet with Bobby Joe Champion. He's a senator from my district. I got to talk to him about student issues that relate to social work, the social work profession. And he actually, or he let us know that he has a son that's pursuing his master's in social work. So a lot of the issues that we brought up to him, he had already known about and he had already championed for. So that was really, really cool to see a politician that was totally in line with our views and wanting to see our profession expanded and help.
That's really great. Well, Bryce, why don't you take us along a little bit, your path to where you are? Because you're an older student, kind of like, how did you get to this point in deciding on social work?
4 years ago, I was a youth worker and I was a manager at a sober home. I had to step away from those roles. It was during the pandemic and I had to step away from them. I was getting burnt out, but I feel like I learned about this program at Augsburg called the American Indian Recognition Program from our dad. He told me about this program and where you can get tuition paid by Augsburg for free. And that opened up my mind to maybe, you know, I can go back to school. And as I was in these positions, these different social services positions, I was really admiring the social workers that I saw. I saw that they had some more freedom than what I did. They had more responsibility. So when I was ready to choose my major, I was certain it was going to be social work. I was lucky to get into Augsburg University, and I was scared at first because I was, like you said, I'm an older student. I'm getting back into it and writing papers. It had been a while since I've written a research paper or anything like that. So I was nervous about that. Mm-hmm. But
ooh, yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of different programs for me going in. Like there was a writing service center at Augsburg that helped me take care of those issues. And I utilized those different services because I knew that I would need a little bit more help coming back in, getting myself reacquainted with the academic life. So I did utilize some of those services. The professors that I have had at Augsburg, they've really been encouraging and they've really been supporting and amazing people. They've helped me see the potential that I have that I didn't really recognized before. And I know that, you know, my friends and family and peers have seen that too before I have. When my professors told me, you know, oh, maybe you could do your master's here. I was like, oh, wow, that's true. That's cool. And they're like, wait, maybe you can be a professor. Maybe you can get your PhD. You can go on from here. You can do anything. And I was really encouraged by people around me and supported throughout the process. So I'm lucky that I had that support and I have had a supportive environment for this growth to occur. The different internships I've had along the way have, you know, like I said, I go into these things feeling nervous. I feel a little bit apprehensive, scared maybe to go into these different roles. But after doing it multiple times, after going to the houses, going into your classes several times, you get used to it. And being an older student, you get used to that too. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be going in, but I'm like I said, I'm just lucky to have the supportive environment that I've had along the way.
And talking about that, could you mention shout out some mentors along the way who've helped you?
I've worked closely with a couple of professors on some research projects that I did. Dr. Gao Niu from She's a social work professor. And also Melissa Ann Hensley. She's a PhD, and she helped me with my independent research project. So there's two professors right away that I can point out to who are just really, really supportive above and beyond. And I just really, I really respect them and thank them for their work that they've helped me with.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're speaking with our brother, Bryce Primo, a Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe citizen and resident of Minneapolis, who will soon be graduating with a Bachelor's of Social Work degree from Augsburg and is doing a lot of good in the Twin Cities community.
It must be really interesting to be an older student. And I say that because I was an older student in one of my programs that I did, and I felt like that timing was really good. Like, I had a little bit more, like, level-headedness. My first degree, I was a little like, I don't know what I'm doing. But as, you know, I did another degree and then my master's, I felt like I had a little bit more just stability under my feet and kind of knew what I wanted to do even better. So I was better able to take advantage of the programs that I was in. So there really is, I think, some good advantages to having kind of an idea of what you want to do before you start college.
I agree. And I think too, being older and in this specific profession too of social work, it helps a little bit because I have a little bit more experience, or I've had time to have experience. Whereas some of the students who are my peers right now, they haven't had some of the time beforehand to have actual jobs and stuff like that in this field. They have their internships going through college, but they don't have the experience. Being older has given me that opportunity to have the experience beforehand. So I had known that what I wanted to get into beforehand. And yes, I agree that that helped out a lot, finding my passion for a subject and being, you know, ready to delve into the coursework and take advantage of opportunities that are presented to me along the way.
All right. So on to, you know, your master's work. How do you see that going? Like, what things do you want to pursue?
There's a couple different tracks that you can take in social work. And like I mentioned before, there's that one-on-one counseling sort of type track. And then there's a more generalist track where you study policies and community programming and developing those types of things. That's the part where I'm most interested right now in my master's program, those types of classes. Getting into research topics in the recovery community interests me right now, as far as program success, evaluating program success, that kind of interests me right now too. So all of these things are really focused on in the master's level courses.
How long does that go for? Is that a couple of years or?
Well, since I graduated with the Bachelor's of Social Work, you are allowed advanced standing in the program. So it's less than 1 year. It's like a year and a half, a year and a semester, a summer semester. So I'll be taking summer classes this semester, and then I'll be finishing up around this time next year with my master's.
Heck yeah. How do you keep it all straight? Like, how do you do all the things you're doing at once?
So to my left, I have a whiteboard that I use to track my weekly tasks, my weekly assignments. And each week I kind of erase it, start fresh. And I also use Google Calendar, and to my dismay, I have to use Outlook too. But all of those three different things help me keep track of everything that's going on. And of course, it's not perfect. I don't have a perfect system, but it helps for sure.
It's funny because, you know, we grew up with computers happening, you know, as we were coming of age. And at the same time, it's still good just to have a whiteboard or just to have notes, like just to write it down.
Oh, yeah.
You're not using AI to plan your week or anything like that?
Not yet, at least. Yeah. Although that's a good, interesting point. Maybe I could try that out.
I was just going to comment, like, one thing that I've noticed in the last half decade or so with you, like your public speaking, your speaking ability, all that stuff is like, I'm jealous of it. Like, it's great. Like, you've been talking, you talk to groups and you do presentations and stuff. Like, how has it been like strengthening your the way you communicate with people.
I feel that change too, like you mentioned. I feel like I'm from 5 years ago, being able to have time to work on my communication, work on active listening skills, that's been beneficial to my public speaking ability and being able to practice that at, like, let's say even when I went to AA meetings, you know, you'd have to talk in front of people and open up about yourselves. And that kind of helps. That kind of helps with classes. You know, you have to do projects and present in front of people. That kind of helps too, I know. And then with these different things that I do in ASW, I used to be a safe talk presenter, suicide prevention awareness trainer. That helps a little bit. So all of these different things combined together, they really help make things a little bit easier. Of course, you know, you still get a little bit nervous in front of classes. And what I do before I go up on stage is I might go into a bathroom beforehand and I look into a mirror and I just say, I can do this. You know, I got this. And I do a little pose where I stick my chest out and I look strong in the mirror and I say, you know, I can do this. And it helps. It helps. Every little bit, every little thing that I can do to just aid me along the way, I try it out. If it doesn't work, I don't do it again. But I find that those things help. The power pose.
The power pose, mm-hmm. The breathing techniques. I like cranking a little Megan Thee Stallion.
There you go.
You can do anything after that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a really big help, though, for sure. Just helps you center yourself a little bit. You might still feel a little bit nervous, but it helps a little bit with the nerves, I feel.
Awesome. Well, is there any other things you'd like to mention, things that we haven't asked you about?
Well, so I think since the last time we talked, there was a dog that's been introduced into my life. Her name's Yenny. We go out on walks all the time. And it was a surprise, but I did win the NASW Minnesota Student of the Year in Minnesota. And I'm just grateful to be recognized in that way. And I'm grateful for my great siblings, my great parents, my wonderful significant other, Cora.
All right, Bryce Primo.
Love to have him on. It was great. Just to see like the evolution, like, you know, the things that he's undertaking, and just, it's just great to see.
Yeah, and we have that link of the Native Lights episode that Bryce was on. Link to this episode page on MinnesotaNativeNews.org. So check that out.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, miigwech to our bro, esteemed guest, Bryce Primo, who is a fellow Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe member, and he's a social work advocate in the Twin Cities. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawabamin.
Gigawabamin.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.